Present Tony Brandon as Wally Thornton in Wally Who?
Now then, where's the T? U-I-O-P? I know it's here somewhere, I've seen it. T! Ah, there it is. Snuggled between the R and the Y. Now then, H, where's H? Where's it gone? I could have sworn it was in this clump here. Come on, it can't have gone. Oh, this is so frustrating. H! Ah, there it is. T... H. What's next? E. Making me dizzy, this. I'm getting dots before my eyes. E. I mean, it's a fairly popular letter. You'd think they'd stick it somewhere prominent. E. Now, where is it? Oh, that's charming, that is. I haven't got an E. I know it's only a second-hand typewriter, but still you expect to get all the letters, don't you? Oh! There it is. What a stupid place to hide it. Right underneath the number. E. T. H. E. The. There it is. The very first word of my bestseller. It's hard work being a major novelist, and still, it's not a bad start. Start off with the. You've got so much scope, haven't you, really? Yeah, it's not a bad little start, that at all. The. Yes, the. The what, I wonder? Maybe I should have planned this novel better. Oh, who's this now? Just when I was getting a real flow going. Yes, come in.
Letter for you.
Oh, look, Postman Pat.
There you go.
Well, I must say, it makes a change to see you. I usually have to pick up my mail from the pub.
Well, you can't expect me to walk across the car dump every day just for you. Potholes and barbed wire everywhere, you could break your neck.
Ah, you manage it well enough when it's intriguing mail, don't you? When it's my final rate demand, that and Christmas, when you come mooching round full of bonhomie to collect your Christmas box.
Some Christmas box you gave me last year.
Those were lovely chocolates, they were French.
The top layer was missing.
Oh. You're so ungrateful, aren't you? What an awful thing to say.
And there were no hazelnut whales on the bottom.
Well, I'm very partial to hazelnut whales. I've always had a soft spot for them.
Plus, there were fingerprints all over the others, and I swear to God, one caramel one had teeth marks on it.
And until you deliver my mail regular, that's all you're gonna get.
I bring you anything that looks urgent. You can't expect me to traipse across that muddy dump to deliver the kind of mail you get.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Well, it's just junk mail, isn't it, in the main?
It is not. I have a wide and varied correspondence, I do.
It's all from the Reader's Digest. Congratulations, Mr. Thornton, and all at the caravan on Lottie's used care dump. Because, Mr. Thornton, you and all the other Thornton household have been selected, along with 30 million other people, to be privy to our special offer of the Book of British Goldfish.
Very easy for you to poo-poo. But I've had some very interesting books through them. Just look at that bookshelf up there, matey. It's crammed full of essential facts and knowledge.
The Book of British Worms. The Book of British Leaves. The Book of British Hamsters. Do you actually read these?
Well, not all the way through, no. Flick through, look at the pictures. But if ever there's a time I need to know a particular type of foliage or the eating habits of a certain breed of rodent, well, it's all there, isn't it? I'm no fool.
I prefer a good tiller myself, I do. Something you can get your teeth into, a bit like your caramel chocolates.
Oh, really? I'm writing one of those at the moment.
What? You?
Yes, me. What's so funny about that?
How's it coming along?
Well, at the moment, I've reached a bit of a... I've got a sort of a writer's block. It's a blotting problem. Some of the themes and strands aren't quite integrating yet. You know how it is. You get so far, you're really going well, then the muse departs. Anyway, I better be getting back to it.
You're not going to open your mail then? It's from someone in prison.
So?
Who do you know in prison?
Don't be so nosy. Go on, clear off out of it.
Who's Jimmy?
Have you been steaming open my mail? That's an offence, that is.
I didn't steam it open. It's just that if you hold it up to the light and crinkle it round a bit, you can just see the bottom of the last page.
I could report you for this, I could. Now, go on, clear off out of it.
All right, I'm going. See you next Christmas.
What a nerve. Hey, you know those chocolates? It wasn't me who ate them. I found them in that rubbish bin by the bus shelter. I'll teach him not to deliver my mail. Right, back to it then. Where was I? Oh, yes, the. Oh, dear, the. Oh, I've gone off it now. Doesn't have the same ring to it anymore. Well, I could always change it, I suppose. Bung an O on the end and change it to Theo. Yes, I like that, Theo. Yes, trouble is there isn't anyone in the book called Theo. Perhaps I could change it to there. Yes. There was a man named Jimmy. He was born in the Gorbals, but his home was a grey prison cell. Oh, yes, yes. I'm really getting a flow going now. Right. There was a man. There. Oh, where's the R? Oh, this really is ridiculous. Oh, there's the K. Maybe I should use it now, because when I want it, I'll know I won't be able to find it again. Yes, now that's it. Leave a few spaces. Stick it halfway down the page. K. Bound to come in handy. Now then, R. Maybe I should do it long-handed. It's taking forever like this. No, every time I get motoring, it's always the same. Somebody interrupts my creative flow. All right, I'm coming.
Excuse me, I'm collecting for the Brownies Jumpers sale on Saturday, March the 23rd at St. Mark's Church. Admission 10p for grown-ups and 5p for children.
I haven't got any.
What about that there? That raggedy old jumper and the holy old bobble hat?
Well, I'm wearing them, aren't I?
Looks like Jumble.
Look, hang on a minute, I've got an old shirt somewhere. It's a little bit past its best. Hang on, here it is, there. You can have that.
No, thank you.
What do you mean, no, thank you?
It's too smelly.
It's not smelly. It's practically clean. And besides, that's all I've got.
No, it doesn't matter. I only knocked on your door for a dare. My friend Jane dared me to talk to the gippo.
Well, there's no gippo lives here, love. You must have the wrong caravan. I don't know any gypsies who live round here. Back to the novel, back to the novel. Now, what I need to do is to pace up and down. Pacing up and down helps you think. All the great novelists paced up and down. Tolstoy, Dickens, Mozart. The trouble is, there's no room to pace in a caravan. You can only have 3 good strides. You have to step in the wardrobe to get in the last one. I'll go outside and pace round the caravan. Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll walk round the caravan. I'll walk round the caravan a couple of times, see if I get any good ideas. Wally!
Oh, funny. I thought I heard...
Oh, hello, Eric.
What are you doing?
Walking round my caravan.
Oh, fair enough.
Any particular reason? Oh, I'm trying to get ideas for a novel I'm writing. Are you having any luck?
No.
By the time you've picked your way round the potholes and old tyres and sidestepped the rolls of barbed wire, you've forgotten what the hell it was you were thinking about in the first place.
Don't read that. From Aubles and Reef to Graduation and Race.
What's that?
Well, it's the title.
What's it mean?
Well, it should be From Gorbals and Grief to Graduation and Grace. But the G doesn't work on my typewriter.
How can you write a novel without a G in it?
No, it's not easy.
Well, I think you're typing a bit too hard as well. Middle's fallen out of all your O's here.
Well, it's an improvement on yesterday. I did my first 10 lines, every letter banged with pride. I took the paper out of the typewriter and the whole paragraph fell out like confetti.
Listen, I just popped in. I was wondering what you were doing on Saturday.
Saturday? Oh, I'm busy.
Oh, dear, I thought we might have gone fishing.
No, not Saturday.
Well, I thought, you know, the Lake District, somewhere like that. Early start, nice, steady, drive up the motorway. Perhaps stop off at Newport Pagnell. They do a nice kipper there. A friend of mine, he's got a license for a nice little trout stream up there. Very quiet, very restful, you know. Not many trout. Very nice.
What's it called?
Oh, it's only a little thing. It's called the River Stye.
Is that the one that runs into the Ure and through to Lake Ullswater?
Well, how do you know that?
I read it in my book of British streams.
You don't fancy then?
You'll be passing Manchester, will you?
Well, that way on, why?
Well, I was just wondering if you could hang around in Manchester for a couple of hours. I'll come with you.
Manchester?
I promised to visit a friend.
Well, whereabouts?
I beg your pardon?
Whereabouts?
Strangeways Prison.
Oh, you mean near the prison?
No, I mean in the prison.
Oh, he's a warder, is he?
No, he's a prisoner in the prison.
It's not your granddad again, is it?
No, it is not. And that's just the sort of ignorant, ill-informed joke I'd expect from a person like you. I'm what they call an official prison visitor. You know, I get assigned a particular prisoner who doesn't get any visitors, and you strike up a relationship with him and so on. And he's a very nice guy, the bloke I see, very nice indeed. So we'll have no more jokes, thank you. A very nice bloke, Jimmy.
What's his full name?
Jimmy Mad Dog McCullough.
Jimmy what? Well, what's he done? What's he?
He's always protested his innocence. All the years he's been in, he's always maintained that he was fitted up.
What's he supposed to have done then?
Axed four men to death.
Were you pulling my leg?
You've got to understand his back. Where he's come from. You're born in the gauble. Your dad dies when you're two. You're part of a big family. There's never any money. You play hooky from school. You can't get a job. You fall in with the wrong crowd, and before you know where you are, you've hacked a small group of blokes to death.
Well, I don't know what to say. I am appalled. I am absolutely appalled.
Don't be so self-righteous, Eric. It's easy to be self-righteous, but if you met him, mate, I'll tell you, you'd think, what a lovely bloke.
No, I wouldn't.
He's changed. 15 years inside, he's a changed man. He's got himself an education. He's got 2 degrees, and now he's working on his doctorate. I tell you, he's a lot better qualified than the social workers who are sent there to help him.
Yes, well, I'm sorry, Wally, but I've got no time for them. These criminals, they get built up into folk heroes. I have got no time for them at all.
Come on, Eric, come on, mate. See it from his point of view.
What point of view?
He's been locked up inside for 15 years. He's got no friends. He's got nothing.
No friends? I'm not surprised. He's taken the hatchet to most of them.
It's all very well for you to judge, cosseted in your little suburban dream. But I'm out there, mate, giving. Helping those less fortunate than myself.
Oh, it's all well and good, Wally. There are more deserving causes. You've got a social conscience, go out collecting for Oxfam or somebody worthwhile.
Well, I happen to think he's worthwhile. And who are you to talk?
I do my bit.
Your bit? Your bit? There's more to charity, mate, than getting Freddie Parrot-Faced Davis into your pub to push over a pile of pennies. I mean, that's very socially aware. That's very, very worthy of Gandhi, that is.
I'm sorry, Wally, I don't want to hear any more. This sort of attitude, it just makes me fume.
There's nothing in it for me, you know.
I'm not saying there is.
It's a purely selfish act. Helping someone out, what's in it for me?
I'm not saying there's anything in it for you.
Nothing. A feeling inside, maybe gratitude. Of course, the absolute packet we'll make off the book we're writing together. Of course, that's just one of the happy perks of charity, that is.
That is the most obscene thing I've heard in my life. It's quite obscene.
Well, it's not all one-way traffic, you know. It's not easy writing with Jimmy. He's had other collaborators. Things haven't quite worked out. I mean, the last bloke who worked with him, they got into a disagreement over a particular nuance of phrasing, and he smashed him over the head with a metal coffee cup. I hate long journeys. Travelling on motorways, it's so boring.
Oh, stop moaning.
Well, it's all right for you, isn't it? You've got something to do. You're driving. What can I do? Stare out of the window and count the cones. At least talk to him.
I never talk whilst I'm driving. I like to keep my fullest concentration.
Can't you go any faster? We've just been overtaken by a Reliant.
56 miles an hour. That is the manufacturer's recommended cruising speed. I will go no faster.
Those furry dice are nice. Where'd you get them then? I'm surprised you can see out of that windscreen. What? Between those dice and the nodding dog in the back, this car, it's like the conveyor belt on the generation game. Mind you, it doesn't go as fast.
I will not rise to this bait. I will not rise.
In and out of the cones, here we go again. The M1! Do you know what it is? A big set of roadworks interrupted occasionally by the odd bit of motorway.
We'll be stopping at the next service station.
Oh, not again. We've stopped twice already. It's every other junction.
You know what my stomach's like. I've got to have something solid every few hours. Plus, I don't like the car to overheat.
Overheat? You don't even give it a chance to get warm.
I look after my car, Wally. Always have done. That is why it has never given me a spot of bother.
You might at least put a radio in.
I had a radio, Wally. It was stolen, along with all my cassettes. My Mantovani cassettes. Probably by one of your mate's chummies.
He axes people to death, mate. He doesn't nick Mantovani cassettes. He's got some sense of decency.
That is not funny. That is not funny at all.
It'll be different when you meet him. When you actually see him face to face.
I am not meeting him. I have absolutely no intention. I will drive you into the quadrangle. I will wait in the car until you've finished your business. But I have no intention of meeting this man.
Oh, come on, Eric. While you're there, you might as well meet him.
Wally, if you wish to maintain our friendship, you will let the matter drop. As you know, I have inordinately strong feelings about this whole business. And I don't want to get myself worked up again. Not with my stomach.
Well, you've got to appreciate, Jimmy, I haven't had as much time on it as I would have liked. You know, it's fairly rough and, just don't expect too much. We can perhaps work on the rewrites together, sort of, punch it up.
What does Orbles mean?
Sorry, Jimmy?
What does Orbles mean?
Oh, the G on my typewriter, it's a little bit wonky, you know what it's like.
This is barely legible.
Yes, well, that's a carbon copy, Jimmy. You see, I type so hard, I sometimes rip through the carbon, and that accounts for all these ink smudges. You know what it's like when you get carried away by the creative muse, typing away furiously, tearing up the paper, and before you know where you are, three lines. But I don't think that...
I gave you quite specific, quite meticulous instructions as to how I required my memoirs transcribed.
Yes, but there must be some creative...
I quote from my notes. The ghettos of post-war Glasgow became the template for urban decay and chronic inner-city deprivation, which you transcribe as, and I quote, the Gorbals, what a dump that was.
Well, it's got a ring about it, hasn't it? It's arresting. I mean, it's not really...
I don't like what you're doing with my words.
Well, I'm just trying to liven it up a bit, Jimmy. You've got to understand, people don't want to read boring sociology books. They want a bit of action. Car chases, fights. You ought to read some Reader's Digest condensed novel. They get right down to the action. The hero falls in love, gets shot, gets framed by the drugs ring, the girl gets kidnapped, and that's only page one. That's what people want.
I don't like what you're doing with my words.
Jimmy, mate, look, you're reading me wrong.
Have you finished with your coffee mug?
Your
coffee mug.
Well, there's no coffee in it, true, yes. But I'd like to hang on to it, if you don't mind. Look, Jimmy, I know what sort of a bloke you are. Same kind of bloke as me.
I was stealing cars when I was 7 years old.
Come off it. You can't even have had a driving licence at that age. Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
When I was 10, I held up an off licence.
Well, that could have been me. I nearly fell in with a bad lot. Some lads from the local grammar school taught me into going scrumping with them.
Thieving apples from a Cornish orchard hardly equates with taking part in your first armed hold-up at the age of 12.
Well, I don't know. It can get pretty hairy when that farmer's chasing you across the field. Get a very nasty stick, you know.
In future, the nature and style of my novel will be dictated by my notes and not by your subcomic book prose. I will now relate the incident occasioned by my first meeting with crazy Jock McEwen.
Yes, well, that's all very well, mate, but if you don't want my racy, exciting storytelling technique, what do you want me for? I mean, I just don't seem to play any part in your plans at all.
Oh, God, come on, Wall. Nearly 2 hours you've been in there now. I'm not going to get much fishing in, am I? Hey? This is supposed to be a nice, relaxing break for me. Oh, at last, an hour. You said you'd be 1 hour. I'm frozen through to the marrow. You might have said something. You could have told me you'd be longer. I could have gone off and got myself a cup of hot soup or something.
Why don't you shut your face?
You're not Wally, who are you?
A drive man, through the gates, drive.
Where's Wally? Why are you wearing his clothes?
I said drive.
I am driving.
Faster.
I never drive fast. I'm always safe and reliable.
Faster.
I am going faster. Where is Wally? What have you done with Wally?
Just drive. Head for Liverpool.
Well, what about me? What is going to happen to me?
Shut your face and drive.
Look, Jimmy, you're making a very grave mistake. I mean, prison has changed. You're an educated man now. You run away, don't you see? You throw away everything you've worked for in the last 15 years. You go back, you can finish your doctorate, get parole. Who knows, in a couple of years, have your own film starring Roger Daltrey. If you run now, you'll be running for the rest of your life, and it's no life in South America. They don't cook their food properly there, you know. It's all spicy chilies and you can't drink the water. You get on that boat in Liverpool, you'll regret it. Or maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life. I mean, just think about it. It's your decision.
How's your head, Eddie?
I was only inquiring after your health.
Well, shut up.
I got hurt as well, you know.
12 stitches I needed. 12 stitches.
Well, that's nothing. That's not serious.
Don't tell me it's not serious. It feels like it's serious. And it hurts like it's serious.
12 stitches? That's just a minor abrasion.
Oh, yes. Where did you read that then? Your book of British gashes in the head.
I've had stitches. I've had 15 stitches.
Yes, that is because your head is bigger than mine.
What a fuss. What a fuss. He only gave you a little tap.
A little tap?
Yes.
He bent that crook lock. It's nearly U-shaped. You have a look at it. I thought he was going to kill me.
Well, at least you were expecting it. You had time to brace yourself. You had a chance to tense all the muscles on your head. I was relaxed. I was actually laughing when I got mine.
Good. I hope it hurt.
It did, mate, it did. He was recreating his famous fight with crazy Jock McEwen. He had me in a half Nelson at the time. And I was chuckling away, saying things like, Then what happened? And he showed me. He ran my head full pelt into the sink.
I thought you said he changed. I thought you said he was a reformed character.
Well, he has reformed. Sort of. I mean, 15 years ago, he'd have been out with the axe, chop, 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 and you'd be in 7 little plastic bags. Buried down at the bottom of his garden. Now, at least he just grabs you in a neck hold and tries to run your head through an enamel sink. Oh, yes, mate, no, fair dues, fair dues. 15 years inside, it has mellowed him.
Yes, well, he certainly took you for a ride, didn't he? From aubles to race. You are so ullable.
I felt betrayed, humiliated, I did. There I am, moaning on the floor, clutching my head, and there's my literary collaborator busily taking my trousers off. I hope they find him before he gets to Rio. My guitar pastels are in the back pocket.
He won't get to Rio. He won't get out of Liverpool.
Well, either way, Eric, it's not going to affect the sales of my story.
What story?
I am going to write my story. Me and Jimmy Mad Dog McCulloch by Wallace Thornton and sell it to a magazine. Titbits or Weekend or The Listener, something like that. I borrowed this little portable typewriter from Sister. Get it down while the ideas are fresh.
Oh, Wally, you haven't got any literary talents, mate. He was just using you.
But this is red hot stuff, this. Straight from the gut. Jimmy Mad Dog McCulloch, what I really thought of him. Now, where's the B? There it is. B. Ooh, and that's very handy. The A and the S are next to one another. Thank you.
You've been listening to Wally Who, starring Tony Brandon as Wally, with John Jardine, Chris Ellison, Nick Maloney, and Rosalind Knight. The script is written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. Theme and incidental music by Debbie Katz, and the program produced in Manchester by Mike Craig.
And you can hear Wally Who again on Friday night at 10. You're tuned to Radio 2.